Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line in Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just north of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you to worship with us this morning at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study and 10:20 for worship service. This afternoon for 4, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I've been talking to you concerning the one true church. We have Jesus telling us in Matthew 16 and 18, I will build my church. We find that in the inspired scriptures, he built only one church. Unfortunately, down through the centuries, man has decided to change that format, and they have created many various churches. And so our effort in this study of the one true church is to encourage all of us to do as 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 tells us to do, which is to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? We are told in various places that we cannot add to or take away from God's inspired word. We are to speak only as his oracles, 1 Peter 4:11. And so passages like 1 Corinthians 4 and 6 tell us that we must not go beyond the things that are written. 2 John 9, if we do go beyond the teachings of Christ, we no longer have God. And also Galatians 1, 6 through 9, that if we pervert the gospel in any way and teach anything other than what the inspired apostles are teaching in the New Testament, then we are cursed in the sight of God. In fact, even if supernatural beings come to us, even an angel from heaven, it says in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and teach anything other than what the New Testament teaches, what the apostles taught in the first century, then they are to be accursed. We're responsible, dear listener, to examine and search to find God's truth. We cannot trust our parents, our preachers, our leaders, the majority, or anyone or anything else, but only the inspired Word of God. And so that's what we appeal to you on the grounds of as we study with you. Now, last time, I was studying with you concerning the membership of this one true church that we read about, study about in the New Testament. Who are the persons that make up this one true church of which Jesus Christ is the Savior of which all of us must be a part of if we're going to be able to go to heaven? Well, we notice that first those that hear the word of the gospel, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We cannot have the proper kind of faith if we don't derive it from hearing the proper teaching, which is the New Testament. Unfortunately, today people are listening to preachers, they're listening to religious organizations, reading their writings instead of studying their New Testament and seeing what God says concerning any religious subject. In Acts 18 and verse 18, we read, "The Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized." We understand then that we must properly hear the word of the gospel, which is the New Testament teachings, not what someone is telling us, but what the New Testament actually teaches itself. But hearing does not save us. We must believe, and believing is pointed out very strongly in the scriptures as an act that you and I must be involved in doing. As we just looked at there in Acts 18 and verse 8, in Mark 16, 15 and 16 it says, Jesus said unto them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And there are many other passages of scriptures that we could look at concerning that we must believe this gospel. What is found within the new pages of the New Testament about Jesus and what he tells us we must do in order to please him, serve him, and be faithful to him in his kingdom, in his church that he established that we read about in the New Testament. But if a person just hears the gospel and believes the gospel, that is not the point that he is saved. You remember I told you that you and I have that responsibility to examine and question everything our parents have taught us, the religious group we're a part of teaches, and anyone else on the planet that God has put us on teaches, and compare it with what the inspired apostles taught in the first century, what the New Testament teaches. There is more that you and I have to do, dear listener, than hear the gospel and believe it. We are not saved by faith only. Faith only is not a doctrine that came from Jesus Christ. It's not found in the New Testament. No one was ever saved by faith only. And under the law of Christ, from Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 on throughout the rest of the New Testament, it's true that when Jesus walked upon the face of this earth, he did save people through their belief in him. But most of these people, if not all, were children of God already. They were Jews. And another important thing that people overlook and do not properly understand is that the old law was still in effect when Jesus walked upon the face of this earth. That old law of Moses was not nailed to the cross until Jesus hung on that cross and died. And then the New Testament, the law of Christ, was incorporated or established. And so if you read the book of Acts, where the Acts of the Apostles, the history of the church, is put down by the Holy Spirit, then you will see what we have to do to be saved. And belief only, faith only, is not what any apostle ever taught. Because there's another thing that we look at now besides hearing and believing, and that is repentance. Now, repentance is something that is not belief, is not faith. It is something that you and I have to do. And so in passages like Luke chapter 13 and verses 3 and 5, Jesus very clearly said, "I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he's comparing that to people of old that did not repent when God's teaching was made available to them. Repentance is something that you and I must do. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter and the apostles were preaching that first gospel sermon, telling people how to get into the kingdom, the church of our Lord, Peter said to those people that had just said to them, "What should we do? What must we do?" Because they were convicted by the teaching of Peter and the apostles that they had crucified the Messiah. And here's the answer that the inspired apostle Peter gave to them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we notice there that in the things that he told them to do, repentance was listed. Repentance is something that you and I must do. What is repentance? Well, it's a change of mind, to turn again. It's to change our mind and to decide to follow the truth and to believe it and obey it, no matter what we might have been practicing in the past or what we might have been taught from our youth up. We will shed any beliefs that are contrary to the New Testament teachings. And so we must turn away from those false teachings. We must turn away from sin, those things that we do in our lives that God says, "I don't want you to do those things." We have to quit practicing those things, whether it's following false doctrine or being involved in immorality, unethical practices, lying, cheating, stealing, all of those things that God condemns and says, "I can't allow you to be with me in heaven if you practice those things." You have to quit doing those things. All of the sexual sins that God condemns, we must study our Bibles to identify those things that are wrong in our lives and turn away from them. So repentance involves turning away from that which is wrong and turning towards doing that which is right, whether it be moral, ethical, or doctrinal issues. Now, that's not all that we have to do before we can reach the blood of Christ. We have to also be baptized into Christ. Now, this is where, unfortunately, the devil has changed the roadmap to heaven. And many, many people, and most people are being taught, in fact, that you do not have to be baptized in order to be saved, that baptism does not save you, the opposite of what 1 Peter 3:21 says, that we'll look at in a moment. But they tell us that baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. And they have a lot of human argumentations and allegories to try to convince you that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But dear listener, if you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you want to follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit, then you have to follow what the Holy Spirit teaches in the divine pages of the New Testament. So let's look at a few passages. First of all, we all understand, I believe, everyone I've ever talked to that knows anything about the New Testament knows that it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Now, we all understand that when Christ shed his blood on that cross, that everyone wasn't at that time saved and no one has to do anything to be saved. Only the universalists would say such a thing. that no one's going to be lost, that the blood of Christ saved everyone, so it doesn't make any difference what you do on this planet. You can just be as wicked as you want to and just kill as many babies or kill as many people and rape as many women as you want and just do whatever you please, and you're still going to go to heaven. That's the universalist position. That's not what the New Testament teaches, dear listener. We have to reach that blood of Christ. That blood of Christ is the only thing that will wash away our sins. It's the only thing that will save us. But how do we reach that blood? Dear listener, the answer is found in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. I want you to turn there or write that down. As you study your Bible on your own, be sure and in a complete concordance, study all the scriptures that deal with baptism so you can get the entire picture of what is taught by the Holy Spirit through the inspired apostles. In Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, the inspired writer there says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Now, I want you to understand, dear listener, that the only place that we can reach the blood of Jesus Christ is meeting him in his death. That's where he shed his blood. He shed his blood in his death on that cross. And the Bible tells us the only way we can reach that blood is through proper immersion into Christ, baptism into Christ, as we've just read here in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Now, this baptism is a water baptism. It's not a spiritual baptism, as many people would try to get you to believe. You know that new birth in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, if you study that carefully, you'll see that there's only one birth. That new birth consists of two elements. The two elements in that one birth are water and spirit. You can't make two births out of that one birth in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And so when you're looking here at Romans 6, 3 and 4, you understand that this baptism is the water baptism. It is the new birth. Well, let's look at another example. Go back to Acts, the book of Acts, and there's a number of examples in the book of Acts. If you would just take the time to read the book of Acts, you would find all of those, or use a complete concordance in your study. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and look at verses 36 through 39. Here we have the eunuch and Philip, the preacher who the Holy Spirit sent to the eunuch to teach him the gospel. I want you to notice very carefully, as this inspired teacher of the first century, Philip the Evangelist, brought to the eunuch, as the eunuch was going back home to Ethiopia. He was the Ethiopian eunuch. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship God under the law of Moses. And he was reading in his Bible in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, and he didn't know who Isaiah was talking about. So he asked Philip when Philip joined himself to him. And Philip asked him, "Well, do you know what you're reading?" And he said, "No, how can I know unless someone tell me? I don't understand." Is he talking about himself, Isaiah, or someone else? And so from that verse, Philip preached unto him the gospel. And then in verse 36, it says, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he replied, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now notice very carefully, dear listener, as you study your Bible, in Acts chapter 8, in this context, that all it says there, verse 35, is that he preached unto him Jesus. Now today, when people preach Jesus, what do they preach? They say, "Well, if you just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then and ask him to come into your heart and ask him to save you and tell him you're a sinner and you're sorry and all." You know, you don't see the apostles teaching any of this in the New Testament. Here's what you find being taught. It says he preached unto him Jesus in verse 35, and then the next verse, it says, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What's preventing me from being baptized?" And I want you to ask this question to yourself. Those of you that are seeking the truth, ask this question. How was he aware of having to be baptized in order to please God? What did that have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ if that is not taught in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because all it says is Philip preached unto him Jesus. I'm telling you, dear listener, and I'm only telling you because that's what the Bible shows, that when Philip preached unto the eunuch Jesus, that included what you and I have to do to become Christians. We have to be immersed in water. We have to be baptized before we can even have our sins washed away. And that's exactly what you find happening here. Well, let's stop just for a moment. I want to remind you that you're listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. And again, we invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study and 10:20 for worship. And then Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. for afternoon worship. And we also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 for Bible study. We encourage you to bring your Bible, examine what we do religiously, question anything, and ask for Scripture. Because if we don't have Scripture for what we practice religiously, if we're not identifying ourselves with that church in the New Testament, if we're adding to or taking away from the authority of what we do religiously, then you have the right to question us and to demand Scripture. And if we can't find authority, we need to quit practicing what we're practicing religiously, or we can't be found pleasing in the sight of God. Also, if you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, just leave your name and address at our phone number, area code 816-279-4737. Or if you'd like a home Bible study, discuss any of this information with your Bibles with us, just leave your name and phone number at 816-279-4737, and we'll return your call and try to get back with you so we can study God's Word together. Again, back to our discussion of what we have to do to become members of this church we read about in the New Testament. After hearing the proper gospel, that's the one in the New Testament, not what people are teaching today, but what you read in your New Testament, and we believe that gospel, then we are to repent of our sins, and we are to confess Christ. We hadn't mentioned that, but Jesus himself told us that if we don't confess Christ before men, he won't confess us before his Father in heaven. And so you find the confession being made. In fact, the one we were looking at here a moment ago in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 39, some translations will have that. That's verse 37, where it says, after he wanted to be baptized, Philip told him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, that's called the good confession by Paul concerning Timothy in the books of Timothy. And so we must not forget that confession is part of obeying the gospel, repenting and confessing Christ. And then baptism, where we were talking about a few moments ago, that we are to be baptized into Christ, and that this is part of the gospel. Again, Acts 8, 36 through 39 clearly show that when we preach Jesus, we must include what we have to do to become Christians. That's part of the gospel. That's part of preaching Jesus Christ. And we can't properly preach Jesus Christ if we do not tell people what they have to do in order to become Christians, to reach the blood of Christ. And so when he commanded that chariot to stop, they both went down into the water. Now, we have a lot of religious groups today saying that baptism is sprinkling and pouring alongside of immersion. That's not true, dear listener. If you study your Bible, you'll find that the word immersion, the word baptism is immersion. It is a going down under, into, under, out of, as Vine's Expository Dictionary points out very clearly. And we must understand that man, down through the centuries, adds to God's Word. He changes it around, and he says, well, you know, it's okay to sprinkle and pour also. But dear listener, I don't want to stand before God in the Day of Judgment and have God look at me and ask me, where did I give you authority to sprinkle and to pour for baptism? There's no authority in the New Testament. Those are actually different Greek words used for sprinkling and pouring. The Greek word used for baptism, dear listener, is immersion. That means we have to be put down under the water. Why? Because it's a burial. Remember Romans 6, 3 and 4? We are buried with him by or through baptism into death. Now, why is that set up like that? Because that's what the Creator has said. That's what he says. And if we're going to try to reason ourselves around that and say, well, what about the fellow out in the foxhole? What about the fellow that the dead tree limb falls on him and kills him before he's able to be baptized? Dear listener, you're whittling on God's end of the stick now. You're trying to change God's word to suit what you've been taught and what you want to believe. If we truly love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we have to believe it the way it's put forth in the New Testament. We can't mess around with it. We can't change it around. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. If you look at another passage then concerning baptism, look at Acts 22 and verse 16. I want you to read 22:16 of Acts, where the inspired apostle Paul was telling about when he was converted. And Ananias comes to him and tells him what he has to do. You remember Jesus told him on the road to go to Damascus, and it would be told of him what he had to do. You know, a lot of people say, no, he was saved there on the road to Damascus just by faith only. And that's not true. You have to read your Bible to find out when his sins were actually taken away from him. And that's found in Acts 22 and verse 16, where the inspired man came to him, Ananias, and he told him, now, why do you wait or tarry? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now, when you study the term calling on his name, it was not a sinner's prayer. It was responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you and I call on the name of the Lord today, dear listener? If you study your Bible, you'll find out from passages like Acts 22 and verse 16 that when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that Joel spoke about in Acts chapter 2, that is quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2, when they call upon the name of the Lord, that is talking about responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, obeying Christ. It's not talking about, dear Lord, accept me as a sinner and forgive me and wash away my sins when I ask you to. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what any inspired apostle taught. We've got to let the inspired word of God control our thoughts and not what we've been taught or not what we believe at any given time in life. And if we find ourselves to be wrong with the truth, then we have to change to align with the truth. The truth is what makes us free. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We have to keep the truth and do what it says and not add to it or take away from it. So here we find the passage that we actually are told that baptism is what washes away our sins. And this is calling on the name of the Lord, doing what God says. You know, that's a hard thing to do too, dear listener, especially if we've been taught all our lives that faith only saves us. All we have to do is just accept Christ as our personal Savior. You hear it on the radio every day. You hear it on television every day. You ask just about anybody out there, and they're all going to tell you, oh yeah, all you have to do is just believe, and you're saved. You don't have to do anything else. Just accept Christ as your personal Savior. And there's a statement that no inspired apostle ever said. The sinner's prayer that so many people talk about today is not even found in the New Testament. Where did it come from? Well, dear listener, remember Jesus told us there's only two authorities in religion, either from heaven or from men. And if you can't find it in the New Testament, dear listener, it's not from heaven. That's a guarantee. That's what the scriptures say. You cannot add to and take away from God's word, and I cannot either. If I do that, I'm found to be wrong in the sight of God. I can only speak as his oracles. And that's what this radio program is all about, to try to encourage you to study your Bible. This is not a radio program to make you feel good, and that's what most people are looking for. You know, tell me things that make me feel good, that just you know, reinforce my belief that I'm going to be in heaven. That's what everybody wants. So today, people don't say anything that offends anyone. They don't say anything to prick people's hearts. And they just say, well, you know, if you just believe, it doesn't really matter how you live because, you know, Jesus died for you and you're going to go to heaven. Dear listener, that's not true. You and I have things we have to do. If we want to be saved, we have to obey the gospel. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You and I have to be about our business of keeping the commandments. And we better make sure we're keeping the commandments of God and not the commandments of men. So let's look at another passage concerning how necessary, important baptism is. Even though the religious world today is teaching that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, that you're saved by faith only when you just accept Christ as your personal Savior. 1 Peter 3:21, it says, baptism, which corresponds to this, it now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dear listener, read that passage very closely and read the context. that it's telling us that just like Noah, his family was saved through water by doing the will of God. You and I are saved through water today by doing the will of God. Now, there's no power in the water. You know, there's no such thing as holy water in the New Testament. No sacred water, no special water. When we are baptized for the remission of our sins, it can be in dirty water, it can be in still water, running water, clear water, warm water, cold water. It's got to be water, though. But God doesn't specify anything beyond that. He says you and I have to be buried with Christ in baptism, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Our sins aren't taken away before baptism, but only in baptism. And so we see here that in 1 Peter 3:21, it's doing the will of God. As we are baptized into Christ and meet the blood of Christ, this is where he washes away our sins, because that's what he says. And what he says is true. It doesn't matter what we believe or what the world believes or teaches. It's what God says. And God says that only when we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins does he wash away those sins. And that's the way it is. And you can't change it, and I can't change it. It doesn't matter what we like or want. It's what the Scriptures teach. And if we're going to love Christ correctly, that's what we have to understand, dear listener. And that's what we want you to think about and pray about and study your Bible about. It's not the water. It's a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's a good conscience? A good conscience is doing what's right. And when the truth pricks our hearts, when we search the truth and we find out that we may not believe it correctly, we may be believing some doctrines and commandments of men that are mixed in with the truth, when we turn to the truth, we have a pure conscience because the truth tells us what you're doing is correct. This is what I want you to do. And when we respond to that, we obey the gospel and we worship God correctly, then we have a clear conscience in his sight. Another passage we'll look at in the remaining couple of minutes is Galatians 3:26-27. Galatians 3:26-27, then we'll close for this morning's study. There it says, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Dear listener, I've often made the comment that if I have a coat next to me and I want to get into that coat, you know what I have to do? Of course, I have to put it on. The only way you and I can put on Jesus Christ is to be scripturally baptized into Christ. There's no other way. And contrary to what the religious world might teach, dear listener, it doesn't change the truth. The truth stays the way it is from here unto eternity. Because the truth is what God says, and what God says is correct. And everything else is wrong, because our Creator, he is the truth. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by or through me." People today don't even want you to say, well, you can't go to heaven unless you're a follower of Christ. But dear listeners, that's what the truth teaches. Whether the world doesn't like it or not doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ is the only way we can get back to the Father and be with him in heaven to serve him forever and ever. So I'd like you to think about these things very seriously and pray about them and study your Bibles. And I would encourage you to tune in next Sunday morning. The Lord willing, we'll be here at 8 o'clock and study the Bible with you some more. We pray that all mankind will seek to be true worshipers, as Jesus himself taught in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And that's the only kind of worshiper he's going to accept. Don't you think that it would be wise for you and me to be seeking to be true worshipers, to be looking at God's word to make sure that the way we're worshiping him is in spirit and in truth? I would hope so. And pray that you are interested in pleasing your Creator above all else. Thank you again for listening, and have a nice day.